Now, that's about as good as it gets. That's a wonderful thing. Praise God. We're glad for what God is doing. Glad to be in the house of God and among the people of God. Just thankful that they let me in. I'm glad for the season of prophecy that we're living in and all that God is doing. He's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. Great revival happening all over the world. This is a wonderful day to live for God. And I wouldn't be anywhere else. I tell you, it is a day of end time prophecy. And we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. And this is just a great time. Along with all the other end time prophecies, I thank God for Joel, because he said in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And I'm excited about that, because he is actually pouring out the Holy Ghost in greater measure than ever before. There are more people right now talking in tongues on the face of the earth than at any other time in history. And it's growing, and it's going to get more and more. And you know he's going to be pouring out the revelation of the name of Jesus and the knowledge of the mighty God in Christ. And we're excited about that. And everyone say praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to continue to read tonight, and we're moving on into the fourth chapter of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4. We'll read verse 2 and 3 tonight, and then we'll make our way on from there. Praise God. Praise God. Are you glad to be in the house? Are you glad to know him in spirit and in truth? Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. And Paul says, now this is right after chapter 3, if you are risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Keep your mind and keep your heart on things above. And then he gives them all the nuts and bolts of how to live for God. Things to leave, things to add to, instructions to husbands, wives, children, all of that. And that's at that level, that's where we live out our devotion to God. And so here, he moves into a little different area. And everyone say, continue in prayer. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, continue in prayer. The implication there, the presupposition is you're praying. But don't stop praying. Keep praying. If the devil could do anything tonight, he'd want to steal your joy. He'd want to steal your praise. And your prayer. We've worked the last several Sunday nights on worship. This is essentially the same area of study. It's prayer. I can't many times separate the two, the praise, the prayer, the worship. It all takes me to the same place. And it is a different manifestation, perhaps, but I think I'm winding up at the same door in all of those activities. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Jesus said, watch and pray. Continue in prayer. Keep your eyes open. God's going to show you some things, because when you engage God in prayer, vision moves and vision comes. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. This is a letter Paul's writing while he's in the slammer for the cause of Christ. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him thanks and praise for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. Ah, we magnify you, Lord. We bless your name. We lift you up. We worship you. We thank you for your word, oh God, oh God. Praise God. So tonight for a little, we're going to talk about prayer. And Paul says, I want you to keep on praying. Everyone say, keep on praying. And watch while you pray. Say that. And have thanksgiving while you're praying. That's not turkey and dressing. That's in your prayer, be thanking God and be worshiping God and be, it's all blended in together. And he says, I want you to pray for us also, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul's in jail. He's writing this. He says, I want you to pray for me that God will open a door of utterance. He didn't say that God would open the prison door, that God would open the jailhouse door. He just said, I want God to open a door of utterance. And when I'm hearing this, I want to say, but you're Paul. You're Paul. 2,000 years later, there are so many people named Paul and so many people named Pablo. And we remember you, and people study you, and philosophers study you, and theologians celebrate you. And you're Paul. You started more churches in the first century than anybody. And we only have a fragment of your letters. You know, when he's writing to one church, he'll say, I want you to read this letter. And then I want you to read the letter that I wrote to the other church. And you get listings of letters that we don't have. Paul wrote letters. He was a prolific writer, and he's starting churches, and he's raising people from the dead, and he himself is raised from the dead. And we read this morning where he had so much revelation that God sent him a messenger of Satan to keep his flesh down so that he wouldn't be overly exalted. So Paul is dynamic in the first century, perhaps the greatest of the apostles. His name will be on one of the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. There's hardly anybody like Paul. And Paul is saying, I want you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me so that a door can be opened so I can preach this gospel. He said, I need you to pray for me. But you're Paul. I know, but I need you to pray for me. But you're a great apostle. I know, but I need you to pray for me. Because Paul understood what we need to understand, that God does nothing but by prayer and by prophecy. God does nothing but by his word, and the spoken word is what comes forth into the natural realm. He said, I need you to pray for me, but you're the greatest in the New Testament, but I need you to pray for me, because he understands the power of the prayer of God's people. He understands that when you pray, you have the power to open a door. He said, I want you to pray for me that a door would be open. Now this, in this case specifically, is a door of utterance. He said, that I might preach the gospel, but I want you to understand that every time you pray, you come to a door. Every time you pray, there's a door that can open. It may not open the first time you come to it. It may not open the 10th time you come to it. But prayer is about opening doors and opening windows. Or if you would, opening portals into the spirit and opening possibilities. Some of you are in situations right now where you need something from God. I'll tell you, it's right behind the door. And the door is opened in prayer. Some of you need a move of God in your life right now. It's in prayer. I want you to pray. There's a door that has the answer for what you need, but it's coming open by prayer. Eloquence can't open it. Political power can't open it. Money won't open it. Good looks won't open it up. Pleading and begging won't open it. Criticizing and complaining won't open the door, but if you'll pray. Paul said you can open a door. He's writing to the church. He's writing to God's people. He's not writing to the Apostle Peter. He's not writing to James. He's just writing to John Q, saint of God, somebody that knows God and loves God. The smallest among us is mighty when he rises up in prayer. What you need, you can find in prayer. What God wants to endue you with, you'll be endued with that from on high in prayer. You won't find it in a natural pursuit. You won't find it in a secular study. You won't find it anywhere else. There's all sorts of things that we involve ourselves in, but there's nothing that's more powerful than prayer. If prayer is anything, prayer is everything. Prayer is the oil that the church runs on. Prayer opens the door for revival. Prayer opens the door for the power of God to be unleashed among his people. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord and bless his name. Paul said, I want you to pray. It'll open up a door. Touch your neighbor and say, if you'll pray, God will open the door. My God, is there anybody in this house that needs something? You need God to do something. You need God to do something right now. I want you to hear the word of God tonight. If you'll pray, God will open a door. No, you didn't hear me. I said, if you'll pray, God will open a door. I'm not quite sure if I open it or if God opens it, but the door comes open. Praise God. Now when Daniel knew, Daniel 6 and 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, his enemies went to the king and cajoled the king into signing a decree in the law of the Medes and the Persians. If the king signed it and said it, it was law and it could not be changed. And his enemies came and tricked the king and said, let's have a special day for you, king, and let's set up a celebration for you. And nobody can pray to anything else other than you and the king and the gods that you pray to. And so, and Persia, like Babylon, like Rome, like Greece, they were an amalgamation of all kinds of people with all kinds of gods. And so this was going to be a day just for the gods of Nebuchadnezzar. And so the king signed off on it. And it's bad because Daniel's not going to quit praying to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so Daniel goes, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, that it was the law, that it was a death sentence, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He opens his windows to pray. And in that, he didn't have to do that. And it shows his fearlessness and it shows his practice of prayer. But that open window is a metaphor for the fact that something opens up when you pray. Something opens up to a larger world, to a greater access. Something opens when you begin to pray. You may not be a very strong person, but you have an openness to strength when you pray. You may not have very much natural resource, but you open up something to the storehouse of God when you pray. You may not have a lot of wisdom, but you open yourself up to the wisdom of God when you pray. Everything that you lack is available to you in a place of prayer, heartfelt, spirit-driven prayer before God. Maybe the most neglected thing in the church of the living God. Daniel opens his windows and he prays, and it earns him a night in a den of hungry lions, but it also earns him an angelic bodyguard, and it also gets him in a place where God shuts the mouth of his lions, and it also gets him to a place where the next day his adversaries are cast into the lion den and they don't have an angel with him, and he is lifted up by the king and his circumstance is turned around and his enemies are pushed out of the way, because he, even when he was threatened, he would not stop praying because he knew the value and he knew the power of prayer. Let's clap our hands unto him. Does anybody here appreciate prayer and the access of prayer and the privilege of prayer, and that God lets us come into his presence by prayer? Revelation 3 and 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and has not denied my name. God is all about opening up doors. He will tell you that he is the door. Everywhere you go, you have a door. You have a door in your possession. You have a door. If I had a door here tonight, I'd carry it around with me. But if you, everywhere you go, you have a door. And it doesn't matter about your circumstance or your situation. You may be blocked in. Everything may look like there's nowhere to turn, nowhere to go. But you can just say, like Wendy Bagwell said in the house of the snake handlers, he said, I reckon where they might want a door. All right. And you can hang that door anywhere you want. Wherever you'll plant the flag of prayer, there's a door that's going to open for you. My God, do you realize what God has given you? And it's right in your hand. People are looking for something, thinking they need more. That if only I had this, or this would develop, or that would happen, or this person would help me, or maybe a natural door would open up. But when he's talking to the prophet, he said, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What have I already given you? What do you have? Whatever you have, if it's a sack lunch or a staff in your hand, it's enough. Whatever God's given you is enough. Whatever you have is enough in the hand of God. When God lays his hand on your hand, you're enough. When God touches your life, it's enough. We can hang a door anywhere we go in prayer. We can be in a cage of sickness, but we can hang a door in that thing in prayer. We can be in a cage of financial trouble, but we can hang a door in that thing. You can't lock in the people of God. You can't entrap the people of God, because God is all about opening up doors and windows, and it's all hinging on prayer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. It's like worship. It opens a spiritual dynamic. You can call it what you want to call it. You call it a door. You can call it a window. You can call it a portal. But you need to envision that, and you need to know that these openings are openings of possibilities in God, and that God, anybody here believe God has everything you need? Do you believe? Come on. Do you believe God has your answer right now? God has everything that I need. My God, somebody ought to worship him about that right now. You ought to just stop it. We ought to have a praise break about the fact that God is enough, and that God has everything I need, and God is willing, and God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Well, praise God. You believe God has enough? Praise God. When you pray, you access Jacob's ladder. Genesis 28:12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. They're doing business, they're doing commerce, and that happens, and that's being conducted all the time, but it happens in a very specific way when God's people begin to pray. It happens in worship, it happens in prayer. Angels ascending into heaven, descending into the earth, doing commerce, bringing things down from heaven, and carrying up prayer from the earth. Now, some folks don't believe that, and they may not understand. Understand that, but when that angel, when that God of all heaven stood at the top of that ladder, he notified Jacob. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon you lie, to thee will I give it. The man was running for his life. He was running in fear, but God met him, and the ladder of God, I want you to know, the ladder of God is always working. The things of God are not broken. They are not old and passed away. They are not archaic. They are not rusty from misuse or disuse. They are in force and they are in action today. Somebody somewhere is getting a prayer answered. There's a little Chinaman on the other side of the world, and God's doing business with him right now. There's a little man in the bush country of Africa right now, and God's doing business with him right now. And the angels are ascending and descending, and God wants to pour out something in Birmingham, Alabama, on somebody's home and somebody's life. But God need somebody that will pray. When you pray, it's like Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 5:3, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. You understand, what does he have? He has a bucket. He has a censer. And what's in the bucket? What's in the censer? Prayer, incense and prayer. And with that, we see the correlation of incense in the Old Testament typology, in the tabernacle plan and in the temple. The incense and the prayer, they are one and the same. And so your prayer is incense, like the incense of the Old Testament tabernacle. And he loads up that bucket off the earth, and he's moving up that ladder, and he's back in the, and these are just mechanical metaphors to help us to understand. I don't think angels use ladders, but I do think they ascend and descend into the earth and back into heaven. But God's just trying to help us understand the way this works. But when you begin to pray, it's like sweet incense going up, and the angel gathers it up and takes it into the presence of God. And this passage says that he pours it out on the altar before the throne of God. And then the angel takes the censer and fills it with fire from off the altar and casts it into the earth. and there are voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. Your prayer is not a one-way street. Your prayer is not just you and it's going up before God. But when that angel takes that bucket and pours your prayers out before God, then he loads that thing up with something out of the heavenlies and casts it down into the earth. And what he's telling you is there are mighty repercussions, voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. I don't know if you need an earthquake, but God can send an earthquake. You might not need thunder and lightning, but sometimes thunder and lightning is just a metaphor, an expression, a literary device that says God can shake up your world. God can strike down in your world and rattle the windows of your house and cause change to come in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is the imagery of the incense of the tabernacle. It's like this. It's the high priest is in the tabernacle, and he's got the incense in his censer, and the smoke is wafting up, and it smells wonderful, and it's God's perfect recipe, and it can only be used for this application, and it's floating up, and it's wafting out back out into the outer court and out into where men are, and so your prayer affects men. And it's something sweet and something powerful, but it also wafts up and moves, and there is this impenetrable barrier there. There's this veil between you and the Holy of Holies, where the Word of God is and the authority of God is and the provision of God. It's all in the Holy of Holies, but you can't pass through that if you're the high priest but one time a year on the Day of Atonement. But by that incense, by that prayer, you can make your way, and you're sending up smoke, and the smoke is covering the place where the men are, and it's covering the place where God is, and it's drawing the two together. Prayer is something that is so pervasive. It moves into where God is, and it moves into where people are. And if you pray tonight, you can touch somebody on the other side of Birmingham. You can touch somebody on the other side. I'll tell you this. We didn't plan on living for God. We weren't thinking about living for God. We weren't thinking about much anything other than what we were doing. And all of a sudden, we got a hold of a tape by Josh McDowell on prophecy, and we listened to it in our little group where we listened to music and did drugs together and hung out together, and some family and some friends. And we listened to the prophecy, and it jolted us, and it convicted us that the Word of God was true. And when we figured out the Word of God was true, then we began to search for a church that actually preached the Word of God, because I was raised in a Southern Baptist church and I knew it wasn't there. My wife was raised in a Presbyterian church and she knew that it wasn't there. And we started calling preachers and we started calling priests and we started talking to them. And every time we'd get a hold of these apostolics, they just answered every question with "Thus saith the Word of God." They just had a scripture for everything, and they gave us the Word of God for every question that we had. Finally, it all came together. It coalesced and it convicted us, and we said, we're going to get baptized. It was at the end of a Bible study. It was midnight. We went down to Victoria Drive to the First Pentecostal Church of Baton Rouge, and we walked in that place at midnight. I had never been. I'd been a lot of places at midnight, but I had never been to a church at midnight. I've been to a lot of places in the middle of the night and the wee hours of the morning, but I'd never been to church doing serious business like that. And I was surprised. I was shocked, because when we rolled up to the church, the lights were already on. And when we rolled up to the church and walked inside, there were these little ladies, and they were walking around the perimeter of that church, and I couldn't hear them, and they weren't making a lot of noise, but they were walking around. And I asked somebody, I said, "What are they doing?" And somebody told me, "They are praying. They've been praying. They've been praying. They've been praying." And I didn't understand it then, but I understand it now, that when they began to offer up the incense into the presence of God, that the incense went to where God was, and the incense went to where we were, and the two were tethered together, and God began to draw our hearts, not because we were praying, but because the church was praying. When the church begins to pray, the city begins to change. When the church begins to pray, people's hearts are touched by God. I want you to lift up your heart, your prayer to God, right? Come on, just talk to him right now. Somebody worship him. Somebody praise him. Somebody pray to him. Somebody begin to glorify him. But everybody, every hand, every voice, come on, cry out unto God. Come on, cry out unto God. Mighty God, worthy God. Ah, we give you praise, oh God, and we bless your name. Glory to God. Somebody was praying. Somebody was praying. I believe that little old lady that served as a nanny for my mom, for my wife and her sister, when my wife was 9 months old, her dad died at 40 of a massive heart attack in the yard, just dropped dead, bam. And my mother-in-law, sweet, sweet mother-in-law, she hired this little lady to come into the house and watch over her two little girls, 9 months and 3 years of age. And while she went back for training and went back to work. So that was the story of their early childhood and their infancy. And they didn't know much about her. They just knew that she read her Bible a lot, and they knew that she went to a church in town, and they knew she never would watch television with them, and she'd always retreat, and they'd always try to get her involved. Hey, watch this. Come be with us in this. She never would. She would just go back to her room. And it turned out the night we got the Holy Ghost, we went back by her mom and dad's house, and we just wanted to tell somebody, we got the Holy Ghost tonight. We got baptized tonight. God is working in our lives. And when we told them where it was, her dad was, Papa was Catholic, and Mom was Presbyterian, and that's how my wife was raised in that divided household like that. But when we told them where we had gone to get the Holy Ghost and where we had been baptized, they just said, "That's Grandma Mary's church. That's Grandma Mary's church. I know, I know, I know that old woman put those gnarled hands on those babies and prayed for them. I didn't have any connection with this. I don't have any pedigree. I don't know how I made my way to the house of God, but I'll tell you this, an old apostolic lady laid her hands on those babies and prayed for them. I know she sent angels forth watching over them. None of us knew how to touch God. None of us knew how to decipher the word of God. But an old lady prayed for some babies. And I'll just tell you tonight, there's a church in Birmingham. There's a church in New Bedford. I'm just telling you tonight, there's a church in Fall River. There are churches and people living for God. Maybe just by the power of a little old lady and her prayer over some baby girls." Don't ever diminish the power of your prayer. When you pray, heaven listens. When you pray in Jesus' name, everything comes to attention. There's power in the prayer of God's people. Paul said, "Pray for me." Paul said, "Pray for me. I know the power of the church." He said, "Pray for me. I need a door. I'm a preacher. I'm going to preach." He said, "But I need God's people to pray for me, because nothing happens but by prayer." Praise God. Are you okay? Praise God. It's a doorway to the throne of God. It's access to the Holy of Holies. Everything you need, you access by prayer. Don't call the banker first. Pray. Don't call the doctor first. Pray. Don't call the lawyer first. Pray. Don't think in terms of natural solutions first. Spirit is primary, and you can get natural solutions and still have a spiritual problem. Pray. Everybody say pray. Praise God. Revelation 3 and 20. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door," who opens the door? Who opens the door? "If any man hear my voice and open the door." There's no doorknob on the outside of this thing. This is operated from the inside. He said, "I'm always out there. I'm always knocking. I'm always seeking. I want to do a miracle. I want to be a provider. I want to be your deliverer. I want to be your way maker. I want to be everything you need. You're weak, I'm your strength. You're lacking, I'm your storehouse." He wants to fill your needs tonight. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If you will open up to me, I'll come in." My God, prayer is you opening the door. Don't worry about Jesus. He's already here. My God, he's already interested in you. He's already made an approach to your house. He will answer your prayer. He said, "If you open the door, I will come in and sup with you, and he with me." Prayer is opening the door from the inside. It's interesting that believers persist in relying on or depending on natural means and trying to affect change in problems or conditions that are spiritual in nature. Praise God. I don't mind you using natural resources for natural situations, but everything ought to be undergirded with prayer. Prayer in the morning. Prayer before you get started. How many of you have already run into a whole lot of trouble in the middle of the day and then decided, I need to pray. We need to pray. Or you call the preacher and say, pray for me. Praise God. But you just need to roll out the bed in the morning thinking, I need to find myself a place to pray. Well, I don't have time to pray, preacher. Well, you just didn't get up early enough. You need to get up earlier and pray. You need to make time. What a novel idea, making time for God. What a novel idea. Well, but you don't understand. I got this and that, and I have to go here and there, and I've got to be here, and I've got to do that, and I've got a big test, and I've got a paper, and I've got, you know, your GPA goes up when you pray. All the students said amen. I'm just telling you. Your GPA will go up if you pray. Your health will improve when you pray. Your blood pressure will improve when you pray. Praise God. You don't believe me. Not enough of you are saying amen. You'll be better looking when you pray. You get mixed up with the anointing of God, God can make anything beautiful in his time. He said, my feet are beautiful because I'm mixed up with the anointing of God. Now, son, if he can make my feet beautiful, prayer can make you better looking. Somebody say praise the Lord. Everyone say it's not by might, nor is it by power. Why are you trying to do this? Why are you trying to fix this? Why are you trying to carry this? Why are you trying to understand this? What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Would you say it's not by might, nor is it by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. My God, you don't need a natural answer. You need a spiritual answer, and you need to tap in. Don't you know the name of Jesus is on your life? Don't you know the Holy Ghost is down in you? Don't you know your name is written in the Lamb's book of life? You belong to God. God loves you. He can't wait to pour something out on your life. But you gotta pray. You gotta open the door. You have not. Personalize it. You have not because I ask not. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. What's asking? Asking is prayer. My God. Praise God. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the door of the sheep. He said, I'm the door by me. If any man enter in, he'll be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And we've talked in recent weeks about going in and out of the presence of God. In and out. I mean, we got to live in this natural world. I mean, we're stuck until the Lord comes or we go. But we're stuck. But we can go in and out of the presence of God. The veil's torn. We can go in and out of the Shekinah glory. We can go in and out of the Holy of Holies. We can go into the presence of God and into the goodness of God. And then we can go to work, and then we can go to school, and then we can go and do all the things we have to do with the anointing of God and the presence of God and the power of God laden on our lives. Praise God. Isaiah 56:6. Are you okay? I'm not going to keep you long. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, for all people. Everyone say his house is a house of prayer for everybody. His house is a house of prayer for everybody. Praise God. That means his house, one of the primary functions of his house is to be a house of prayer, and that house is for everybody. But there's another implication there, which is that everybody needs to pray. Not just the elders and not just the mamas and not just the preacher, but everybody needs to pray. Everybody say, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. He says in Isaiah 56 and 6, also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, and everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant. Any sons of the stranger in the house tonight, anybody that came without a pedigree or without a connection, but you made your way, God drew you into the house of God. Even them will I bring into my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Praise God. God's going to bring you to his holy mountain, and God's going to make you joyful in his house of prayer. It's by prayer that you're going to tap the joy of God, and it's by prayer that you're going to access the power and the abundance of God. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. It's a door. Prayer opens the door to all people. Prayer opens the door and anyone can come. Prayer opens the door and everyone can come. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and say, prayer opens the door. Praise God. Tell him, if you'll pray, God will open the door. Come on, anybody got a problem in the house tonight? Anybody got a problem you need an answer to? Nobody got problems? We're all good. Who got a problem? Who's got a problem? Who needs an answer? Who needs a solution? Who needs more? Who needs a blessing? Who needs healing? Who needs, well, anybody here have a need? I want you to know prayer opens a door. Prayer opens a door. Prayer opens a door. Acts 16, 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And the praise gets the attention, but they prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, because they weren't just praying some little, now I lay me down to sleep. They were locked up in the bottom of that prison, and they were chained up, and they were, oh God! They were heard by all the prisoners. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly, there was a great earthquake. You remember now, I told you the angel takes the incense and the prayer up into the presence of God, and then he fills the bucket up with lightnings, thunderings, and an earthquake. There was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and he sent them an earthquake. And immediately, everybody say immediately, most of the doors were open. Some of the doors were opened. Their door was open. No, if you really get to praying, everybody's doors start coming open. And everyone's bands were loose. Prayer unleashes the deliverance of God. Praise God. He said, 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. You need to pray everywhere. You need to pray on the way to work and on the way home from work. You need to pray at work. You need to pray at school. You need to pray between classes. You need to pray at your locker. You need to pray down at the gym. You need to pray on the basketball court. It wouldn't hurt. Guys, it wouldn't hurt when you get together to play ball. It wouldn't hurt to say, hey, let's pray for a minute. Yeah. Oh my God, that's not very manly. Well, I'll just tell you. I tell you, going to hell is a stupid thing. And you're really wise to know about prayer. It's time you shed all that social concern and just step up and be a real sure enough apostolic. Somebody say, sure, you're right. That's exactly right. You need to step up and be an apostolic. You need to pray down at Walmart. You need to pray in the meat aisle. You need to pray down the cereal aisle. You need to pray over in the hardware department. My God, I would that the men would pray everywhere. Everywhere you go, you ought to be lifting up some prayer to God. My God, because if it's powerful, if it's incense, here I am, I'm streaming off incense all over the city of Birmingham. It's flying out my car. It's running down the hill by the house. Prayer going up everywhere. You're polluting the whole world with prayer. No telling what's going to break loose. My God, what's going on today? I don't know. I'm so excited. We've been praying. God's about to uncork something in this city. God's about to uncork something on somebody's life. God's about to uncork a miracle. God's about to open a door here. Something tremendous is about to happen. How do you know? Because I've been praying and God answers prayer. You can't pray and have nothing happen. Is there a witness in the house? Is there a witness? Has anybody seen a miracle in prayer? Has anybody had God answer your prayer? Has anybody had God talk to you? Come on, is there a testimony? Is there a witness in the house? You got a door with you everywhere you go. And you can put it anywhere you like. If you'll pray, keep on praying. Paul said, pray, keep praying. Don't stop praying. Keep the door open. He spoke a parable unto them to this end, Luke 18 and 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, which doesn't mean collapse. It means to stop praying. Don't faint from praying. Don't stop praying. And this is the preamble to the parable of the story of the widow and the unjust judge. She had a need. She went to a judge. She kept going back to the judge, and the judge wouldn't answer. And she kept going back to the judge, and the judge wouldn't answer. And she kept going back until the judge said, I'm not afraid of God, and I'm not afraid of man, but this widow's driving me nuts, and I'm going to do what she's asked me to do because she won't go away. And this is a story about prayer. It opens with, I would that that men would pray always and not faint. And then he tells the story. The widow in the story is you. The unjust judge in the story is God. And God answers her prayer because of her persistence, because she just keeps on coming and she keeps on praying. And he's telling you, sometimes God withholds, and sometimes it's not on God's timetable, and sometimes you just got to stay in your place. God's in his place. Everything else, the angels are in their place. God needs somebody on the ground in their place. I'm reminded of Daniel when he's praying and fasting for 21 days, and finally Gabriel breaks through, and Gabriel says, we heard you when you first began to pray, but the prince of Persia has been resisting me these 21 days, but Michael came and helped me, and we beat him up a little bit, and now I'm here to tell you, Daniel, you're a man greatly beloved of God, and God was there, and God was in place, and the angels were there, and the angels were duking it out with the demon prince of Persia, and the man on the ground didn't stop at day 19 and say, well, I guess he's not going to answer, and walk away. Because if he does, the angel shows up and there's nobody to bring it to and nobody to talk to. Praise God. God's in his place. Angels are in their place. You take your position and you continue in prayer. Everybody say, keep praying. Keep praying. Praise God. He asked a question at the end of that parable, and he says, and yet, he said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with it? May take a while. God's not McDonald's. This is not a drive-through. We're committed. God's committed. He's already died for you. God's committed. Don't you let anything make you doubt that. The whole system works, but sometimes it works by process, and it sometimes works by persistence, but you got to stay with it. You get a hold of it. You begin to take it to God, and you keep taking it to God until God says no, or God says yes, or God says wait. But you'll hear from God if you'll pray. Somebody say praise the Lord. Is there a witness? He said, I'll tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The story is about prayer, but the question is about faith. Because he said, will I find faith on the earth? Because your prayer, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is your evidence. Faith is your substance. Faith is the very life of your coming to God. And he says, will I find faith on the earth, in a story about prayer? And he's expressing that your prayer is the rudimentary expression of your faith. If you believe God, you pray. If you don't have a prayer life, it's just simply you don't believe God. You go to work because you believe in that. You go to the refrigerator because you believe in that. You go to the drive-thru at McDonald's because you know they're in there and that quarter pounder's there. You never been to a McDonald's and they said, we're out. I mean, you go to those places because you have, those are all acts of faith. You go there because you have faith. You don't go to prayer because you just don't believe it works. And you're crippled, and you'll never be full-orbed apostolic. You'll never actualize what God has called you to be or to have or to do, because you can't. You're totally crippled without prayer. You can't live for God without prayer. You can't serve God without prayer. You can't be a soul winner without prayer. You can't be intimate with God and know God and go in and out and find pasture. You can't do any of that. You can't live out the biblical definition of the people of God. You can't be the people of God without prayer. You got the Holy Ghost in prayer. You keep the Holy Ghost in prayer. Prayer is breathing in and breathing out. If you stop praying, you stop breathing. Go ahead, hold your breath. See how long that lasts. You can't live for God without prayer. Without prayer, you're a carnal saint. Without prayer, it's a carnal church. Without prayer, it's just a social club and we're just getting together. But the miracle of God can't move in a church where there's no prayer. Why is there revival in some cities and not others? Why is there a church in some places and not others? Because somebody goes into that place and plants the flag of the gospel, plants the flag of the truth, plants the flag of prayer. Praise God. Praise God. I believe that prayer changes everything. I really believe that your situation tonight, some of you have wrestled with situations for a long, long time, but you've never become a prayer warrior about that situation. There's something you can do. You can have perfunctory prayer. You can pray. You can pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us a day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom, power, and glory forever." Amen, amen, amen. The threefold amen. And you hadn't gotten past the roof. You hadn't gotten into the presence of God. We used to do that. Before every football game in high school, we'd all get together. "Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Kill, kill, kill. Help me kill him, God. There's all kinds of prayer going on. Buddhists are praying, Hindus are praying, Catholics are praying to Mary. People. But there's a heartfelt, this guy's on the street, the Pharisee's on the other end praying a big, fancy, formal prayer. The guy on the street says, he strikes himself and says, "God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." But it's heartfelt and it's transparent and it's open and he needs God and he wants God. And God said, "Him I heard. I heard him." You don't have to be a theologian or a scholar. You don't have to be anybody special. Anybody can pray. I believe our little children pray powerful prayers. I love it when these little ones lay their hands on me. I want them to pray for me. Praise God. I believe they have angels before the face of their Father night and day. I think they're plugged up. Praise God. Why don't we just do a little of that right now? Why don't we just lift up your hands and just pray to God. Just thank God. Just worship God. Just magnify God. Whatever you're feeling right now, pray. Somebody's in need in this house. It's a shame to leave out of the presence of God in need when God can provide all of our needs. Praise God. Lindsay, why don't you come help? I'm about to stop here. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, mighty God, worthy God. We give you praise, oh God. We magnify you. God, anoint us, baptize us with a baptism of prayer, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In Luke 11, the corresponding passage to Luke 18, the little woman and the unjust judge. In the second frame of the teaching on prayer in Luke 11, the dissection of the Lord's Prayer. Said a man had company at midnight. He went to his neighbor's house and he began to knock on the door and ask for bread for his friend. Because I have a friend that's come at midnight and I need bread. And God, who is the man in the house, and you, who is the man outside the house, God said, go away. We're down for the night. We're closed up. Oh, go away. And the man just kept on knocking. He kept on knocking. He kept on knocking. Been living for God for 30 years. I've been praying for 30 years, but I won't quit praying. Is there anybody, is there a witness in the house? Somebody prayed for it for a long, long time. And then God pulled the trigger on it. There's all kinds of things involved. There's people and their will involved. And there's all kinds of demonic things involved. You don't know what you're pressing against when you're praying. You may be pressing against the Prince of Persia come to Birmingham, the Dark Prince of Birmingham. I don't know what's coming against your prayer. But you need to know this. God's in place and God is able. And the angels are in place. And the promises of God are yes and amen. All God needs is somebody that'll just say, it's Monday, it's time to pray. It's Tuesday, it's time to pray. It's Wednesday, it's time to pray. It's Thursday, it's time to pray. He said, I'm going to turn you away. I want you to go on about your business. And he just kept on knocking. And finally, he said, it wasn't because he was his friend. And it wasn't because he owed him. It was because he would not go away. God teaches us that principle of prayer. Persistence in prayer. This is not about training God. This is about training us. If you are a prayer warrior and you are persistent in prayer, you train yourself. You train yourself. You might think, well, I need healing for my friend. And so you keep going back and you keep going back and you keep going back. And God withholds and God withholds and God withholds. But what he's done, he's trained you to be a persistent prayer warrior. By the time the healing comes or doesn't come or whatever happens, you have been trained in prayer and you've learned how to doggedly get a hold of the things of God. And every day you press into prayer. And you'd rather miss a meal than miss your prayer time. And when you miss your prayer time, you feel like everything's wrong with the day and you just can't be settled until you find some time with God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Everything in the kingdom. We were talking about goosing it a while back, and we're talking about doing a little bit more, turning up the fire, get a few more degrees, turn it from hot water to steam, turn it from just something with potential to something with kinetic power, and in your prayer, if you just ratchet your prayer up a little bit in your life, I don't know what your prayer life is like, but if you just say, I'm about to ratchet my prayer life up a little bit, I'm about to take a step off into authority in prayer, a more of a time in travail. If you spend a little season in speaking in tongues every time you pray, enlarge that. Enlarge the borders of that. Reach out a little further with that. Press in a little harder with that. Get into a place of travail. If you've never walked off into a place of travail, start opening up your spirit and crying out with a loud voice unto God and just see what God will do. Praise God. Just press. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? There was a prophecy that went forth, and it was this. He said, my people will come to a day when they will praise a God they will not pray to. Because when the music's going and it's time to dance and worship, we can dance and we can worship, and I love it, and I teach it, and I believe it, and it's powerful. But prayer, it's going to be the strength behind your praise. Altar of incense is prayer and praise. But there'll always be an element of sacrifice. If you walk out to the front of the tabernacle, you find the altar of sacrifice And it's really interesting how God thinks. But the altar of sacrifice and the altar of incense are exactly on the same level. They're exactly the same height. And it just simply says, your praise and your prayer will never be any higher than what you place on an altar before God. And the fire for the incense is the fire off the altar of sacrifice. Nadab and Abihu tried different fire, but God killed them. Nobody fooled with that afterwards. You have to have the fire of a sacrifice before God. Prayer is not convenient. Prayer is not satisfying. Prayer frustrates the natural mind, especially when you're praying in tongues. Prayer frustrates your schedule. Prayer gets in the way of what you need to get done. Prayer is totally useless to the natural man, but if you ever fall in love with prayer, if you ever get the revelation of prayer, everything in your life lines up and God begins to put his hand on every other feature of your life when you learn to go to God in prayer. Paul said, I want you to pray for me because it's going to open a door for me, a door of utterance so that I can preach this gospel. Praise God. I'll just tell you this. If we could by some means increase the prayer of this body by 30%, there would be an influx of souls in this church in just weeks to come. I'm just telling you, there would be an alleviation of a lot of the problems that some of you are having right now. I will forecast this though. There will be new problems that you never encountered before. Because that's the nature of the kingdom of God. I'm going to ratchet up my prayer. Well, look, God just took care of that. Wham! Brand new problem. Because devil never goes away. You step right into it. But I'm just telling you, if we could some way measure this and enhance the prayer power of this church by 30%, you would be astounded by what you'd see. I'm just telling you. How do I do that? Show up early. Find a place for prayer. In the prayer time, we have collective prayer. Find a place in your schedule. Let your prayer, let your prayer be Monday prayer, Tuesday prayer, Thursday prayer, Friday prayer. Don't, please, 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 don't let your prayer be Sunday morning and Sunday night prayer. You've missed the whole point of everything we're doing. Praise God. Let's draw down close to an altar tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, connect with God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation in this house. If you're a prayer warrior or you never pray, come and lift up your voice to God. Hey, mighty God, mighty God. What do you need? God's got it. What do you need? God's got it. Prayer is an open door. Prayer is access. Prayer is a portal. Prayer is the strength of God on your behalf. Make me a house.
Make me a house of prayer. Oh God, make me a house of prayer.
My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Oh, that's right. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Cry unto the Lord.
Hey. Make me a house of prayer.
She brings forth.
Let the fire on my
altar. And they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry.
Burn now. Oh, man. Lay the fire on my altar. Let it never
You may
burn
not have
out.
All the gifts. You may not be a preacher.
Let it never
there may be
burn
things
out.
That you don't walk in. But everybody walks in prayer. Everybody's powerful
let
in prayer.
The fire
Everybody
on
has
my
the
altar.
Privilege of prayer.
Let it
my
never
house,
burn out.
A house of
Lord,
prayer for all people. Everybody, everybody, everybody prays.
On my altar.
Everybody has access. Everybody has power. Everybody has an open door.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. Oh God, won't you make me a house of prayer?
In the name
May
above
the fire
every
on
name.
My altar.
Jesus.
Let him never
Jesus,
burn
we need Jesus, we need you. Jesus, help us, God. God, anoint the prayer of your people. God, anoint your people to pray. God, anoint your people to cry out. God, anoint your people to be prayer warriors.
Make me a house of prayer. Let it never burn out. house of prayer. Let the fire on my altar, let it never burn out. Oh God, won't you make me a house?